Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about how you can have a successful video conference in English, no matter if it's a business meeting, a team meeting, meeting with your friends, or even having an interview. So no matter what platform you are currently using, we're giving you some tips, vocabulary, expressions, and phrasal verbs that you can use all when video conferencing. And as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you can find some bonus material there on how to politely end a video call. So be sure to check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
imaginative
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're cleaning up the yard, wrestling, or even
on an overnight bus.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And by our newest host, the Thunder from Down Under, Ollie.
Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world.
Gonna have to keep working on a nickname for you. I don't know, that's the first thing that came to me. I think, what does that come from? Do you know?
I have no idea. I do like it though.
So maybe it'll stick, you never know. So today we're talking about a very relevant topic as the three of us, since Ollie is in Brazil, the three of us right now, we're on Zoom. And a lot of people in the past 9 months or so have become more than familiar with this new technology. And some people maybe have become familiar with it, but maybe still have a lot of challenges with it, as we'll see today. But today we're going to be talking all about the proper language to use when you're on a video call. So if you have any difficulties, how can you make sure that you don't sound impolite? How can you make sure that you don't make a blunder?
What's a blunder?
A blunder would be like a huge, devastating mistake, right?
Yeah, I really like that word. It's fun.
Is it a really American one or is it?
No, we use it a lot in the UK as well. How about in Australia, Ollie?
Yeah, we'd also use it quite often too.
I guess you could be the blunder from Down Under as well.
Could also say that. I guess blunder rhymes with thunder.
There you go. So before we get into any of that, we have a shout out to a very special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from Gustavo Castillo from Spain, and it's titled Hot Stuff. Well done, guys. Keep going. I'm Gustavo from Barcelona. I really like your style. I'm hooked on your podcast. When are you releasing more?
Well, to answer that question, we have them every week, every Monday at the moment. So maybe we'll even start doing them more often now that we have another teacher. That might make it a little bit easier. And what does that mean, hot stuff, if you call something hot stuff?
In my mind, I think of that song. There's a song by, oh, I can't remember the band now, but it's like, hot stuff, baby, this evening. Do you know that song or am I like the only one?
It sounds like it's like from the 70s or something, right?
Yeah, I think it was Hot Chocolate maybe or something. Yeah, it sounds...
I've definitely heard of it. But when I think of hot stuff, I think like amazing and cool and like really fresh.
That's what I think one meaning of it might be. And I think it could also be used kind of like flirtatiously maybe, right? If you call someone hot stuff.
Yeah, I think that's where the song comes from. And yeah. I'm also, it's also just registering with me that I just sang on the podcast again. So I'm a little bit embarrassed about that.
It's becoming kind of like a tradition.
Yeah.
You're doing great though. So thanks so much, Gustavo, who's also here in Barcelona, just like Andrea and I are. So maybe we'll bump into you at the beach or somewhere, maybe when we're not having to wear masks and stuff. But if you want us to shout you out, you can head over to Apple Podcasts, just like Gustavo did, and leave us a 5-star review. And the great thing about this is that you help other learners from around the world to have fun listening with us. So that said, we're going to be trying out a new section today that fits perfectly with today's topic. So we're going to look at some real life English. So I actually just found and shared this video with the team, I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, and we thought that it was so perfect for the topic that we're talking about today because it's a perfect example of what not to do when you have an important meeting via Zoom or via another video platform, because as we said before, you want to avoid blunders, and this is definitely a perfect example of a blunder. So basically the situation that happens in this video, it has to do with lawyers and a judge. So there's a legal hearing, which a hearing is basically, I think, the first time that the lawyers and the judge come together to discuss the case. And because of COVID, they were meeting over Zoom. And one of the lawyers must have had like a kid or something who was using his Zoom before he did, because he turned on kind of a funny filter. So basically, they couldn't see his face. He looked like something else, which you will see if you go watch the video, which you'll find on the show notes. So if you want to actually watch that and laugh a lot with it, you can find that over at reallifeglobal.com, and then be sure to click the link for podcast to find this episode. But what we're going to do here on the podcast is we'll explain to you some of like the vocabulary from the video, and then we'll actually play the audio for you. So first off, the judge is really great at handling this situation. A lot of people, I think, might start just cracking up. They might start laughing a lot, but he's really good at keeping his cool and being polite about it. One thing I thought that was really good that he said is, "I believe you have a filter turned on." So why is it good to use that "I believe you," Andrea?
I guess because obviously he wasn't there and he hasn't seen the lawyer's settings, but he's trying to help him. He's not saying, "Oh, you've done this," or which can kind of sound a bit more strong or accusative. He's trying to help him and being a bit more polite there by saying, "Oh, I believe you have a filter turned on." So it's kind of prompting him to check that section of the settings.
Exactly. I think that that's really good to use in English anytime you want to be more polite. I think we use that a lot, as we've talked a lot on this podcast, that in our cultures, I'm actually not sure in Australian culture, I imagine it's the same as British American culture, that oftentimes we're overly polite and we really avoid confrontation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Australian culture and politeness is very much like the Brits. I think the Brits are more polite, like they won't be as direct as, you know, Americans. but yeah, Australians kind of come in the middle.
Perfect. So you could use that anytime, saying like, "I believe," or "I think," as like a way to kind of add a buffer, so to speak, of politeness there. So then he says, "I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings." So what exactly does that mean, in case people aren't sure what it means, if you have a filter on Zoom or Skype or another platform like this?
With social media platforms like Snapchat, Instagram, I think even Facebook has it now. And obviously with Zoom as well, you can change what you look like to make yourself fun. And this lawyer, well, I don't think it was his fault. but basically, he doesn't look like himself. In the video, he looks like a cat. Yeah, so you can change the way you look as a person.
Exactly. It's kind of like all the rage these days with the kids on Snapchat and such.
I love filters. I love using them on Instagram. They're so cute.
There are some really cute ones, and there are also some really scary ones. Like, it's probably a topic for another podcast, but there are some scary ones where you can really change your features and things like that, which can be a little bit scary, but there are so many fun ones. Like, yeah, for sure.
They're a lot of fun, but they're probably not something that you would want to have turned on if you were in a professional meeting or a hearing or anything like that, right?
Exactly.
No, especially if you're going for a job interview as well. Imagine logging into the Zoom call and you're a cat.
It'd be very memorable though.
Yeah, right. Might be a very great or not such a great first impression, depending on the person who's interviewing you.
Yeah.
And the video settings, what is the settings?
The settings is where you can basically choose what you or how you want to look and how you want to hear. So for example, my video settings on my computer is set to my computer's webcam. and my microphone. You can have different types of microphones, and my microphone is set to the specific microphone that I'm using. So you control the settings by choosing what video you want to use and what microphone you want to use.
Yeah, something else you might find people using a lot nowadays too in their settings is turning on the virtual background, in case maybe you have a background that's not so flattering, then you could make it like something more neutral, or you could put that you're on a beach or on the moon or something outrageous like that.
Yeah, actually, one of my friends, when she teaches, she has like a picture of a classroom in the back to give it like perfect. A classroom vibe.
That's a nice idea.
It is. Then the lawyer, who's kind of having this blunder, he says, "Can you hear me?" So what I wanted to point out here is that a lot of people I've noticed wouldn't use the correct thing. Like when I used to like teach also on Skype and different video platforms, and there was some sort of connection issue or something like that, my students would often say, "Are you listening to me?" Or just like, "Are you listening?" Or "Are you hearing me?" Which all of those ways wouldn't really sound so correct. What would it actually mean if someone said, "Are you listening to me?"
It would mean, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Are you actually actively listening and hearing what I'm telling you?
Exactly. You wouldn't want to say this so much on like a Zoom call or like something professional like that, because it can sound quite accusative or confrontational, right? But you might hear it maybe if you were like in a fight with your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife, they might say, "Are you listening to me?"
Yeah, or a mom or dad to their son as well, or daughter.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a teacher to the students sometimes. If you have younger students, you might have to crack the whip, right?
What does it mean to crack the whip?
Well, whip is like the thing that people might use, for example, to get like an animal to move or something. It's obviously not such a caring way of getting things done, but we'll also kind of use it figuratively in that sense that you're kind of like bringing in the discipline. You're cracking the whip, making even like the noise like the witch.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they use whips in horse racing quite a lot. And so you might see it there.
Right. So we have another horse racing reference on the podcast.
I know.
Are you a big fan of it?
I wouldn't call myself a big fan, but I do enjoy, the big races down under.
There you go. And finally, and then we'll play the clip because we've been kind of rambling, but he says, "I'm here live." What would that mean if you're here live?
It means that you're there in person at that moment. So obviously, because they couldn't see him because of the filter, he was like, "I'm here live to confirm, you know, it's me right now."
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You might say, like, listening to this podcast right now, you're not actually listening to us live. This is actually a recorded podcast. So you want to make it clear that he was actually there in person, even though they couldn't see him. So I think that now you're pretty prepared to listen to this and to understand it. But as we said, go to the show notes if you want to get the real deal, the real experience of watching it, because it's absolutely hilarious. So let's roll it.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that. I think if you click the up arrow next to...
All right. I hope that you guys are already laughing with that and you're going to love watching the video. But for now, let's give you some different phrases, some different vocabulary. It's going to help you not make the same mistakes as this poor guy who seems to have gotten himself into some trouble based on maybe his kids changing those video settings. Andrea, what would you do at the very beginning if you're just jumping into the call and you want to have a good first impression?
Yeah, so always start with a greeting. So depending on who you're meeting with, it might be something more informal or casual, like, "Hi, hello." However, if you want to be a little bit more formal, if it's to do with business or, you know, someone you don't know that well, you might say, "Good morning," and maybe their name, or if you're not on a first name basis, you might say, "Good morning, Mr. Smith," or "Good morning, Mrs. Evans," or something. Or if it's the afternoon, "Good afternoon." You might even say, "Good evening," if you're having a late meeting. But it's really important not to say "good night," because I've heard this mistake a few times. And in English, we only say "good night" before we go to sleep. So I think sometimes when people say goodbye to someone, they sometimes say good night, but it's not actually the time before you're going to bed.
Yeah. I've actually had students who would come into my classes and they would say good night. I'm like, no, it's not good night. That's when you're going to bed. You say good evening.
I suppose the exception might be when you're hanging up or when you're saying goodbye. If it is nighttime for that other person or if you're in the same time zone, then you could say have a good night, right?
Yeah, exactly. You could say have a good night. Or even if you're on the phone to someone and you say, oh, I'm going to bed now, you could say good night because then you know that the next thing they're going to do is go to sleep.
Exactly. But you wouldn't use this ever as a greeting, correct?
Exactly. Don't say good night. Just say good evening or goodbye.
All right. So let's say that you're coming in and maybe your mouth is moving, but the other person clearly can't hear you or something. You're kind of wanting to check the tech to make sure everything's okay. Make sure you don't have any weird filters on. What are the kind of language that you would have to use in that case?
So when you first get into your Zoom call or Skype call or whatever platform you're using, you can ask the other person, can you hear me? And if they respond yes, it's obvious that they can hear you. but if they say no, or they do like an action to their ears or wave their finger, it means they can't hear you. So you would need to check your tech settings and make sure you're using the correct microphone when you're talking. And obviously, if your video is not working, they might say, I can't see you. So you would need to, again, go into your video settings and check to make sure that's working.
Exactly. I guess that can always be like a good way to start out too, once you've said hello, as long as if you're not sure that if they can like hear you and see you, if you're not sure about your settings, you can always say, can you hear me? Can you see me? And not like the, like we said, not the present continuous right now. Are you hearing me or are you seeing me? Sounds like a little bit strange. Are there any other ways that you could ask this?
I think, yeah. So you could also refer to the audio. So rather than saying, can you hear me? You can say, is the audio working? You could say, is the video working? And because maybe sometimes someone joins a call and you can hear them, but you can't see them. So you might say, oh, I can't see you. And then is the video working? And then they'll check their settings. Also, sometimes when you join, some platforms automatically mute you as you enter. So like you'll start talking, saying hi to everyone, or if it's just one person, you start talking and they can see that you're talking, but obviously they can't hear you. So then they might say to you, oh, you're on mute or you're muted.
That's happened to me quite a lot, actually, since the world has gone onto Zoom. I start talking and I've said like, you know, 5 minutes, and then they go, teacher, I can't hear you. Or you're muted, teacher.
Especially if they're wanting to be not be too rude and like interrupt you because they see you're kind of like going off.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk more in a little bit about some more language that you could use if you're having technical difficulties. But kind of coming back to the beginning of the call, once you've gotten all sorted out that everything's working, the other person can hear you, they can see you, all is good, then how would you kind of continue the conversation there?
Yeah. So I think it's important to have a little bit of small talk.
What's small talk?
Small talk is kind of when you, before you start your main conversation, you ask how they are, you get a little bit of an update about their life just to get to know them a little bit more. And some common questions that you'll find with small talk are obviously, how are you? Another way you could say it is, how is it going? Or how's it going? How's it going is a little bit more informal than how are you. You could also say, how is your day so far? Or how is your day going? And these are different ways that you can kind of like break the ice. I think we mentioned in last week's podcast about breaking the ice, making yourself more comfortable and more familiar with the person.
Exactly. It's like good, I think, in any situation too, right? If it's someone that you work with every day, if it's a friend, or even if it's a job interview, you've never seen this person before, it's always kind of good to have that initial, to kind of like show, you know, that you care about the other person, to ask how they're doing and everything.
Absolutely. We use small talk in every situation, even like with your housemates, whether you go on a date, whether you are arriving at work in the morning, there's always a little bit of small talk.
Exactly. You might also ask like, you know, how that person's day is going, how's your week going? Have you been since we last talked? Kind of just to get like an update on things. And that can also be a really good question, because if you work together or something, it can be almost a way to ask how they're doing and also kind of like solicit a status report, so to speak.
What do you mean by solicit and also a status report? So you said status, but I would say status.
Oh, really? How would you say that, Ollie?
Status.
Status? Okay. Have the tiebreaker now.
Yeah.
Solicit is, it's kind of a formal word, right? To ask for something.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a status report? Status report. Andrew's gotten me confused now on the right way to pronounce it. What's a status report?
A status or a status report, if you're from the UK, is it's basically you writing a few things about what you've done and what you're going to do. So updating maybe your work colleagues on the progress of your report. And I found this super useful when you're working at home and remotely to update your status. We could say update your status on Facebook as well. It's kind of an update to let people know what you're doing.
All right, Andrew. So how would you respond then if you're getting any of these questions? How can you sound polite, sound correct when someone asks you?
Yeah, so hopefully you'll be able to reply positively. It might be a bit awkward if you start being really negative. So most of the responses I can think of are quite positive ones. You might just reply with good, great, everything's fantastic, I can't complain, or never better. You know, maybe if you've had an issue with something, if you're meeting with a work colleague or something like that, you can bring something up. You know, if they're asking how's your day going, you could tell them if you had a problem with something, maybe they can help. But again, just think about who you're speaking to here.
Yeah, I think context is everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you can always ask them as well, how about you? Like if you want to know how they're doing and things like that too.
Or an American might say, how about you?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we would say, how about you? Or how about you? Yeah.
Australians, it's like you're never quite sure about, you know, if you want to go more the British way or the American way.
I know, it's confusing, isn't it?
It's a dilemma.
The dilemma.
Something else that's really important I found, because like I'll hold interviews or there might be different kinds like meetings where it's important to have some record of that to, like, for example, share with the team, or maybe you need to share it with your boss or with someone else who's relevant. So it's obviously always best practice to ask, can I record the call? Or do you mind if I record the call or something like that, to make sure to get the person's permission and maybe even give them a reason. I think it's always better to give them a reason, you know, to say that you need to show it to someone else on the team, not that you're going to publish it on the internet or, you know, share someone's blunder with a cat filter or anything like that.
Yeah. And if someone asks you that question, you can reply by saying, yeah, sure. Or no problem. That's fine with me.
Exactly. Fantastic. So now I think pretty much everyone listening should feel pretty confident about starting the call. But now let's get actually into it a little bit more. So if you're having a professional call, you might need to actually talk about the agenda or the purpose of it, right?
Yeah. So usually in professional meetings, you'll have an agenda so that you know what you're going to be speaking about and that you can make sure you get through everything in the time that you have. And there are some really good phrasal verbs in some of your potential expressions or answers. So for example, one could be, I'd like to talk about, which basically just means that you're starting the sentence and then you're going to list all the things that you want to talk about. So that's a really good one to know. You could also hear, let's go over. So maybe the person you're meeting with wants to talk about some things that you've spoken about before, or maybe there are new things that they want to go over with you. And that means that you just want to talk about them again. It's another really useful phrasal verb to know. And also you might hear, I'd like to cover. So someone might say, I'd like to cover X, Y, and Z in this call. And again,
what is Z?
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up. It's of course the last letter in the alphabet, Ethan.
It's Z. Z. Let's see what Ollie says for the tiebreaker.
I would say Z, but I think I've been Americanized from teaching American textbooks. So I would say Z, yes.
That's fantastic. So I wonder what that difference comes from. I'm always curious how, because I think also the letter after G, we would say H. You guys would say that a little bit different, right?
I would say H.
Yeah, some people say H, some people say H.
On the UK, you have both.
Yeah, I know I think sometimes I say it differently as well, depending on how I'm feeling. But I know people, I'm my ear is more in tune with it now. So I really notice it when people say H.
I've always actually thought H makes more sense because it actually has the H sound in it. But in the US, people might be confused what you're saying if you say H.
Yeah, I think we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah,
exactly. What does that mean? That's actually a great expression that you could use if you're in a call and it gets off the agenda. We're getting sidetracked.
So if the call's becoming sidetracked, maybe you have gone away, or maybe you're talking about a different topic that's not connected to the main topic or the purpose of the call. So if someone says, oh, I think we're getting sidetracked, it means that you have noticed that you're talking about something that's maybe irrelevant or not as important, and they want to bring your attention back to the purpose of the call.
Exactly. We might also say like go off on a tangent, that someone went off on a tangent or they went off on a rant.
Yeah, exactly right.
And then someone might say as well, so shall we get back on track or let's move on?
Exactly. So you'd say kind of like as an alternative, you could also say, let's get back on track. So it's like you've gone off track and you need to get back on track, right? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real life adventure of the English language. Each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson. So let's get back on track and move on to the next part. So actually, once you kind of get into the bulk of the call, we've talked about, you know, how to start that introduction, how to talk about the agenda. What are some useful different phrases people could use actually during the call, other than the one we already brought up about being on track or going off track or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe you're in a work meeting with your boss or in a group team meeting, and you're talking about a specific topic, and then your boss or another team member says, does anyone have anything to add? And this question is basically asking for your opinion about the subject that you're talking about.
Exactly. That's something too, if you're the one leading the meeting, it can be like a really good thing to ask, because I think especially when we have these group meetings, it can be really intimidating for people to speak up. So I think when you're the person who's like leading that meeting, you need to actually invite people to maybe unmute themselves if they're putting themselves on mute, to make sure not to have any distractions and to give their opinion in that moment. That's a really good one.
Make sure you unmute yourself before you add anything to your meeting.
That's an important caveat.
Oh, that's a very posh word. What's a caveat?
Caveat. That's like a, what is it? Like a side note or something like that, right? Like an additional information.
Yep.
If the person who's leading that meeting doesn't actually give you an opportunity to say something, to give your opinion, and you really want to share it, you have something really important to say, how could you politely interrupt them to be able to say that thing?
If you want to be polite, I found that you could say, excuse me, is it okay if I add XYZ, which means this part of information. I think, Andrea, you had something.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, really. Just politely say, excuse me, or do we have time for me to just comment on that? You know, because maybe also things sometimes are time sensitive. So just bring it up that way.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too, is always kind of being conscientious if there's some sort of limit of time or something for the meeting. If the person who is facilitating that meeting is trying to move through things rather quickly to make sure that you get to everything, so that you're being sure to say that in a polite way, or to take note. I think it's always good to have like a notepad or have something open on your computer where maybe if you have some idea or something that you want to share, that you take note, and maybe you can share it at the end instead if there's going to be an opportunity to do that.
Every time I have a meeting, I always have a notepad just in case.
I think it's definitely like crucial, especially in this remote work environment, distributed work environment, it's absolutely crucial that you take notes. Okay, so what else might you need to say during a meeting?
So if you don't really understand what your boss is saying or you need more information, you could ask your boss, or if you're in an interview, you could ask the person interviewing you to give you more information. A really nice and polite question could be, could you clarify that, please? Clarify means to make clear. Or another way you could say this is, could you elaborate on that, please? So to elaborate on something is also to give more information, to make it more clear so you understand more. And I think this question is important because, especially in job interviews, like I've been through the process where maybe you don't know much, or you don't know as much as what you could know about an organization. So I think it's important to ask this question to the person who's interviewing you, just so you get to know as much as you can about the organization that you're having a job interview with.
I couldn't agree more. I think too, a lot of times there's really tricky questions in job interviews. So sometimes, you know, instead of just like answering right off the bat, right away, and maybe not answering it in the way that the person, not really giving them the information that they're trying to solicit from you, that they're trying to get from you, you could say, could you clarify that? Or could you elaborate a little bit more on what you're looking for? You could even ask them if they could give you an example, just to make sure that you're giving the best answer that you possibly could to that question. Now, you probably don't want to do that with every single question, because maybe it would make you seem a little bit slow or something, but it can be good if there's like a particularly tricky question, you're not sure exactly what kind of answer they're looking for, it can always be good to ask for more information.
Yeah, and I think a way that you could avoid continually asking this question, you could also say, do you mind if I have a moment to think about my answer? I don't think there's any problem in saying that. Would you agree?
Definitely. I've held interviews, and I think like that's the people where we can bring back blunders and everything. That's the place where people might screw up the most, is just that they feel like a lot of pressure to answer right away. But at least for me, from the point of view of having interviewed a lot of people, it's always much better that the person, and like, I don't mind at all if the person says like, can you give me a moment to think about that? And it's like, you know, you're there to try to really get to know the person and get the best answers that you can to those questions and everything, to make sure that they're the right fit and everything. So if you are just like going right off the bat and everything, you're not really thinking about your answer, maybe you're not giving that person an opportunity to make sure that you're the right person for the job, and maybe they might pass up on the opportunity.
It might feel really awkward to say, can I have a moment to think about that, when there's someone in front of you waiting for your answer, but it's a lot less awkward to do that rather than going off on one saying, let me think about that. And like using these ways of stalling while you're trying to think, and then maybe waffling and not being very clear. So it is the better option of the two.
I know we've talked about that before in a while ago in a podcast, but what does that mean to be waffling?
When you don't really make sense, so you're saying lots of words, but you're not really being very clear, and maybe you're rambling as well. That's another way to describe it, when you just talk and talk and talk, but you're not really making sense.
So what else might be useful if people are in a job interview or in a business meeting or anything else over Zoom, Skype, etc.?
You might also be asked, was there anything you wanted to bring up? So maybe you'll be asked this question at the beginning, or you'll want to ask it at the beginning, or once you've gone through the agenda, it's a good question as well to offer up to the team or the person you're speaking with. Bring up is a nice phrasal verb that we use a lot, and it just means, is there anything that you wanted to talk about? And then also wrap up is a really nice phrasal verb as well that we use to say to finish. So you might hear, let's wrap up so that we finish on time.
I like that one too, like wrap up, because you can use that like, let's start wrapping up. So like, you know, let's kind of stop talking about whatever we've been talking about and start doing the kind of maybe talking about what are the next actions for the next meeting we're going to have, or what's the homework that we have that each person should be working on, or whatever is the case. And you know, I think when you have like 5 minutes, 10 minutes left, that can be a really great phrase to use if you're leading the call. I think also with what you were saying with bring up with the question, it's also like a great one that you could use. Like, do you mind, like at the beginning of the meeting, you could say like, do you mind if I bring up X, Y, and Z, or, you know, whatever topic that maybe you also wanted to talk about and you're not sure if there'll be time or not.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a good place to wrap up this section. Otherwise, we might not have time to share everything we had planned today.
We wanted to also be sure to give you some useful things if you are in a call. This happens to us all the time since we're a distributed company and all of our calls forever have always been via video chat. So it will happen a lot, you know, that maybe you have internet troubles or technology troubles or whatever the case is. So we want to give you some different phrases you can use that will actually help you to be polite. So I think that politeness is like a really great place to start, right? What are some things that you might want to just add to the beginning of a phrase to make it more polite if you're trying to point out that you're having some difficulties or the other person is?
Yeah, so I always think it's nice to first say sorry because, you know, you don't know that you're having technical difficulties sometimes. So first of all, say sorry or excuse me. And then you could go on and say, oh, I believe that my camera isn't working, I think. And then if you want to give advice to somebody, you could say to them, you might want to. And you could say, you might want to check your settings. You might want to restart your computer and come back. So there are different ways that you could be polite.
Exactly. And I think just learning to not be so direct in what you're saying and not just saying like, because usually I think too, when it's not your first language, a lot of times you are maybe fumbling a little bit with what's the right word to use and everything, but always kind of like punctuate what you're going to say with like one of these introductory words or something that'll make it a little bit more polite. So like Ollie said, that you can always say, you know, sorry or excuse me before what you're about to say, or if you're going to ask someone to do something or point something out, like we saw in the example from before with the judge that was very polite, saying like, I think, or I believe. So not being so direct in that way. All right. So first of all, we talked a little bit about audio problems and stuff. What are some things that you might say to someone or some problems that they might occur?
Yeah. So if someone can't hear you, then they might say you're on mute or you're muted. They mean the same things. They might say your mic is turned off. They might ask you to check your audio settings. And sometimes it can be quite awkward because you can hear the person, but it sounds like this and it's a bit robotic. So you might want to say that as well, because then maybe the connection is not great.
Could you please move closer to the internet router or the Wi-Fi modem?
People might say that as well.
Oh, do you say router as well then? We say router.
I say router, yeah.
I didn't know that one. Yeah. I'd say router.
Router, yeah.
Yeah, I think all of those we've encountered in various meetings, so it can be good to have those in your arsenal, in your tool belt of words that you know or phrases that you know either to use if the other person's having difficulties. And like we said, you could say, sorry, I think your mic is turned off. Sorry, you're a little bit robotic. I can't understand what you're saying. There's a problem with the audio or anything like this. Just so you're coming across politely and you're making sure that you can actually like hear and understand the other person. Because I think a lot of people maybe will want to be too polite and they don't say anything. But then if there's some problem like that, then you won't be able to understand them. So you're not really doing yourself or the other person any favors by not speaking up.
Yeah, sometimes you might even hear a strange sound as well, and you might want to comment on that. Or, you know, if it's not very clear, you could say, I'm having trouble hearing you. So again, not listening, because it's not about whether or not you're listening to the person, it's how well you can hear them and how well their audio is working.
That other person could be in quite a loud environment as well. So you could also ask, could you please move to a quieter room? To make the call more peaceful.
I've recently had to ask, it's like a lot of our team being in South America is in summer and everything, and a lot of you have fans on, and so like sometimes someone will have like the fan and it's directed towards the mic, and so obviously they can't tell, but it will be very annoying for the person who's listening. So I've had to say like a lot, like, sorry, can you like move your fan? I think there's like the fan is maybe hitting the mic or something like this, to ask them in a nice way to please get that horrible sound out of my ears. All right, so what about the other problem people might have is with like visuals, that you can't see the other person, and sometimes people aren't aware that their camera's not on. So what kind of things can be useful for these kind of situations?
This comes back to like maybe you have internet issues. Quite often your camera might freeze, and the other person will say, oh, Ollie or Ethan, you're frozen. And that literally means your camera has temporarily stopped working, and you have, like, instead of having a moving image, it's kind of like just a photo. So it's maybe you mid-sentence with your mouth open. So it's quite awkward.
So it's always a bit embarrassing.
Yeah. So they might say you're frozen. And another phrase that they could ask, can you refresh?
Depends on the platform, right, too. If it's like Meet, if it's actually like on the browser, or if it's Zoom. Or like Skype, you might ask the person, like, can you hang up and like then call back or something like that? Or can you leave and then come back or something like this? Because sometimes there's just a difficulty when you first enter.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, this has happened to me a lot when someone can't hear you and you say, oh, I'll go out and come back in. But you kind of do this action to be like out and then in, like this really elaborate thing with your hands. But the person understands, so then you know that they're going to leave and then come back.
Exactly. You have to get really good at your signs, right, as well, when you're using these kind of technologies. And like we talked too about some connection issues that might be causing you to be frozen, or might be causing like the voice to be choppy. That's like another word that you might say is like to someone is like you're kind of choppy, like either the picture or your voice. What would that mean?
So if it's choppy, your sentences aren't clear, you can't hear everything. You might be able to hear every second or every third word because the internet is not strong enough to hear and listen to every single word you're saying.
Exactly. Or it can happen with people's picture as well, right? That you, like, you'll see their video instead of being kind of like, yeah, you'll see them like a robot or something, a little bit like that. And what might you say then, you know, if you visibly can see like it's not your internet, but it's the other person's internet, what might you politely say just to try to get their connection a bit better?
Yeah, you could ask them, you could say, do you mind resetting your router, please, or router? And that's like the router is the internet box, which signals all the Wi-Fi. Or you could say to them, if they're on their computer, you could also say to them, is it okay if you call from your phone? I've had that happen quite a lot, actually, when, you know, my computer is just full of programs and it just freezes, and then I've needed to exit the call and then re-enter on my phone. Obviously, it's more professional to use your camera, but as a last resort, I think your phone is an okay option.
That's a really good point. Something else that happens maybe quite a bit, depending where people are, is their internet could go out as well. And in that case, they might say, like, let me turn on my hotspot, which a hotspot is like the basically using the data, the internet from your phone, and connecting your computer to it so you can make the call. I actually had, like, recently when I was doing some interviews, I had like a few interviews, and my internet's always super reliable, but I had like a really bad luck on that day that I had all these interviews and I had to use my hotspot, but that was quite inconvenient. Something else that might happen, a term that I use a lot that I've found a lot of learners might not know, is like there's a lag. What does that mean?
That's another way of saying that there's a delay. If you think of jet lag, I suppose it reminds you of that a little bit when you're traveling and you're in different time zones and then you get jet lag. So it just means that there's a delay either in the audio or in the picture maybe. So the connection's not quite great. They're not in sync.
Yeah. I've noticed with these platforms too, sometimes like that's cured just by like refreshing or by leaving and coming back. And so it's good to kind of know those phrases, because maybe it depends on who you are, but some people can find that very annoying to like be seeing the person's mouth moving, but then like hearing the audio a few seconds after. So these kind of things can be a good thing to be able to point out to people. All right. So finally, just to finish up the podcast, to wrap up, we're going to talk about how to summarize kind of what's been happening. So we talked about maybe when you're wrapping up a call, when you're wrapping up a meeting or an interview, then you might want to kind of go over again really quickly what was talked about or the next actions. So these will be useful. And then you can get some more. There's some really great phrasal verbs that you can use for summarizing. And we'll also tell you how to end a call exclusively over on Instagram. So you'll have to go over to our Instagram at reallife.english to get those extra ones, which you will find extremely helpful to make sure that you're kind of ending that meeting in a polite way, making sure to leave with a good impression. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So Andrea, how might you kind of wrap up that call by summarizing?
Yeah, so a really nice way to do this, you could say, it was great talking to you about XYZ. Or, you know, I appreciate your time going over and then the things that you spoke about during the meeting. A really lovely way as well, if you really enjoyed the meeting, you could say, it's been a pleasure talking about this with you, especially for a job interview as well. You could say it's been a pleasure speaking with you, or I've really enjoyed this time. Those are really good ways to just kind of finalize the call.
Absolutely. One more that you could say is thank you for taking the time to chat with me, or thank you for taking the time to meet with me.
All right. So if you want to make sure that you're not making a blunder when you finish up the call, as I said before, you're going to head over to Instagram. But hopefully everything that you've heard so far has been immensely useful to you in your next video call, so that you can sound polite, you can sound confident, and you can make a really great impression on whoever you're talking with. So thanks so much for joining us this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you soon. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our Real Life Native Immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.